Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. Today is July 28th. It is 9 a.m. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone could rise for the pledge to the flag. And if you could remain standing, and we will then have our invocation by Cheryl Birch from Cheryl Birch Ministries.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm praying out of Isaiah 11, Psalm 90, and Psalm 111 for you this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I bless our Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors today and pray that your spirit would rest upon them as they review the business of the day and make important decisions on behalf of their constituency. May the spirit of wisdom and understanding be theirs, and the spirit of counsel and of might. Let your presence, Lord, rest upon them and establish the work of their hands in uprightness, verity, and justice. Give them inventive ideas and plans that will benefit the citizens of our county and enable them to be excellent stewards of all the resources in their care. Thank you, Father, for your great grace pouring out to them even now. Also, to everyone in this room, to every citizen of Stanislaus County, and especially to the supervisors' families. Guide and protect them always, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay, we're going to start it off today with a presentation proclaiming August 2015 as Child Support Awareness Month. Tamara. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Supervisor. I'm very good. Thank you. Good morning to all of you board members, CEO Risen, County Council Doring, Tamara Thomas, Director for the Department of Child Support Services. With me today providing the presentation on Child Support Awareness Month is Assistant Director Baljeet Atwell and Operations Manager Rhonda Brown. I appreciate the effort of each of them for dedicating this morning and providing this morning's presentation, as well as all my staff who are here to witness the event. Today our presentation takes on a slightly different format with more focus on partnerships, prevention, and customer testimonials representing the work of our staff. We appreciate the board's time this morning in proclaiming August as Child Support Awareness Month, and I want to personally thank the board for their continued support throughout the year on behalf of the department. After Baljeet has finished, we are happy to answer any program questions or concerns that you might have. And I'll turn the time over to Baljeet.
Good morning. As Tamara indicated, August is Child Support Awareness Month. Children grow and thrive with the commitment of family members to provide for their emotional and physical needs. This is especially important when a family structure changes while the needs of their children stay the same, which is why for 1.3 million children, meeting those needs also requires the commitment of child support professionals who help families all over California participate in California's child support program. This August, the slogan for Child Support Awareness Month is giving them roots to reach for the sky, because raising a child is like growing a tree in that with each gift of love and attention they receive, new growth occurs. The child support program establishes and enforces paternity and support orders. Child support is a source of income for one quarter of all children in the United States and for half of all poor children, impacting 17 million American children. Child support is important to families as it improves self-sufficiency. Child support payments play a stabilizing role, helping families get from paycheck to paycheck. The impacts of paying support are many and contribute not only to positive conditions for children, but also have a positive impact on parents and the communities in which they live. The program serves as a cost avoidance for other public assistance programs. The child support program generates revenue. In the last 7 years, statewide, the program has collected $16 billion. And of this $16 billion, over the same time period, we have collected $337 million within Stanislaus. The program's performance is measured in many ways, specifically by the orders that are established and the funds that are collected. Cost effectiveness is also a very important measure. Stanislaus County Child Support Services is proud that we are ranked 15th within California this year for our overall performance. We also rank very high in our cost effectiveness measure. For every dollar spent on the Stanislaus County Child Support Program, we collected close to $3.50. Stanislaus County Child Support Services is also considered an award-winning agency. Just in the last 10 months alone, the department has won 2 state and national awards. While maintaining efficiency, we also strive to provide excellent customer service. According to customer survey responses, the child support staff is serving our customers in a respectful and effective manner. 91% of customers who submitted responses either agreed or strongly agreed that they were overall satisfied with the services provided by department staff. The department continues to promote the county vision of being a county that is respected for its service in the community and is known as the best in America. Congratulations to all child support staff for serving customers in a positive manner. Child support is a program that is focused on collaborative efforts to provide services that promote parental engagement. In addition to our award-winning employees, our continued successes are also attributed to the partnerships formed with local agencies to assist with service delivery to customers. We are more successful in strengthening families due to these partnerships. Since the beginning of our partnership with the probation office, the probation officer has seen over 1,100 non-custodial parents and has collected over $73,000 in support. The courts have provided a dedicated calendar to child support grant participants and recently implemented a paperless courtroom to ensure greater efficiencies. Over 301 non-custodial parents are currently receiving some form of employment training from Alliance WorkNet. We continue to work together for a future fatherhood initiative with the Community Services Agency. At the Center for Human Services, 126 non-custodial parents have attended at least one parenting class, and 13 have graduated from the 15-week parenting classes. All child support staff have received domestic violence awareness training from Haven Women's Center in order to better identify and refer customers as needed. And due to our partnership with the Modesto City Schools, child support staff has presented their Just Think About It awareness program in all 8 high schools in Modesto. So with just over 1 year left of enrollment opportunity for parents, I'd like to highlight the federally funded Pathways to Self-Sufficiency grant project. This is a national demonstration grant project, and it provides employment and parenting assistance to parents who are unable to support their children as a result of unemployment or underemployment, with a goal to re-engage parents with their children by providing consistent and reliable support. Please contact us so that we may help with providing information and offering options, including debt relief and employment training opportunities. In closing, I'd like to take the next 2 to 3 minutes of your time to share customers' perspectives on the PASS grant project. So we have 2 videos.
I have accomplished better resume writing skills. I have sharpened my interview skills. I have been made aware of so many more resources and so many more opportunities since I've been enrolled in the program. It's really been helpful. The only thing that I really want to say is thank you for actually caring. You people actually care. You want us to succeed. You want us to do well and be productive, and you're willing to put incentives out there that make everybody want to participate in the program. So it's been great.
What I've accomplished with the Pathway program. the word confidence comes in my mind, and it's because of the Pathway program that provides On My Shoulders program, which a lot of fathers, well, all fathers go to, that are compared situations. So in saying that, I went there and learned about confidence. And like I've told my worker, Naomi Connors, you know, if you're going to the program for just these things, that's all you'll get out of it. But since I've been in this program, I've got my license back. That's one confidence. I got a job. There's a second confidence. The third confidence, I got my truck running, so now I got my keys in that order. It came Pathway program, my license, keys in my car, and a job. And that's what I've achieved. So this program right here is a blessing in disguise. It's been 17 years plus I've been carrying this on my shoulders. 17 years, job to job to job. And all it took was for me to ask about it. And here in Modesto, California, every single worker from Alliance Network to here has done nothing but help. You know, and for me, when the beginning of this, when I was 19, coming to see a worker, you didn't want to. But now, you want to know what's next. What's the next step up the ladder? How do I get through this door that's been so closed on me for so long? And then just the fact that they stay in contact with you through email, through text messages, you know. I can't say nothing more, but it's a wonderful program. I hope it stays, and I'm a success story of it. My suggestion to any father in the same situation who's carried a burden like this for a long, long time, the program's here for a reason, and it's for us. And it's for us to help us get over that little bit of that we can't accomplish because of every time you make more money, they want to take more money. Every time you get a job, they want to take your license from you. This is what this program is. God's given us the tools to overcome that and achieve all what we need, what we strive for. And that's to make good money, take care of our kids, and actually not have to worry about getting pulled over for warrants or whatnot. And to me, most dads don't have a license because of this. So now they have something that makes you get your license as soon as you get into the program. And I've achieved it.
And with that, we thank you for your time, and we're open to questions.
And in closing, I just also want to comment that this is not an unusual story where we have 17 years worth of non-payment or 17 years of disengagement with a child. And we are seeing some phenomenal successes with the 436 individuals who are in this program. We're helping them to remove those small barriers that just give them that catalyst to become engaged with their children, which is the prevention piece that we have been talking about that has been sorely missing in some of our cases. So at this time, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have regarding the presentation or just any comments in general about child support.
Can you force the people in this program? Or is it completely voluntary?
It is completely voluntary, and we have struggled, quite frankly, with the enrollment piece of just getting people in to participate. So the marketing is really key. We need to really make sure that that message is out there, that these things are available. We have a little over 300 more slots that we need to fill. And so there's a huge advantage waiting for people if they will come and talk to us and if they will respond to our message. So, yeah, completely voluntary.
Utilize the graduates for the messaging.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. We have done some fabulous peer-to-peer. These videos are essential, and there is a great peer-to-peer component in the fatherhood messages and the training and curriculum, which has been fabulous.
Great work, all of you.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, come on up, Tamara. We'll give you.
I'm going to defer to Rhonda and Baljeet if they will step up and accept the proclamation. Thank you.
We'll speak into this.
We're good, okay.
Okay, there we go. So great. So we're so proud of what you guys are doing, and on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, we're proclaiming this Child Support Awareness Month. You know, like Tamara said, this so much ties into the prevention, the focus on prevention that we're doing. And for every person that you help and end up getting more money, you know, for someone to help them take care of their child, it's just another child who will then grow up and hopefully be successful in this county. So we so much appreciate all you guys are doing. Great work. I'm going to let each one of you say something here.
Thank you very much. Is it working?
Yep.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank the staff again. Without our staff, we could not be where we are right now. So thank you very much.
I was going to say, I don't need the microphone. I've already spoken enough this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you to the board. Thank you for every partner we have made who has helped us, who has supported us. Thank you for the leadership. And thank you, of course, to our staff, without whom it wouldn't be possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we will move on to celebrate parks in Stanislaus County. Jamie Akers.
Good morning, Chairman Withrow, board members, CEO Risen, County Council Doring, Jamie Akers, Director of Parks and Recreation. July is National Parks Month, and in honor of that, we have Kathy Gomez, our Staff Services Coordinator for the Parks Department, is going to share a presentation with you.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here today to present how parks makes life better, but even more important, how Stanislaus Parks makes life better. A picture is worth a thousand words, so we decided to show how parks is making life better in Stanislaus County. We're going to show it through pictures. So we want to say less, hopefully that will happen, and show more of what's happening in our communities. Now, the state takes it, they measure the success of parks five different ways. Access to the serenity and inspiration of nature, outdoor space to play and exercise, facilities for self-directed and organized recreation, positive alternatives for youth, and activities that facilitate social connections, human development, therapy, the arts, and lifelong learning. Our goal today is to show how Stanislaus County Parks and Recreation provides all of these opportunities for our community. So let's take a look at the access to the serenity and inspiration of nature. Here's some pictures at both our Modesto and Woodward reservoirs. The camping is always an important, our full hookup. One of the other things that we show is our outdoor space to play and exercise. We built a Hatch Park baseball field in 2014, had our first opening day. This is in the Keys area. Improvements to Hatch Park baseball field and Bonita Ranch soccer field were paid for by the Community Service Area Funds. We had our first opening day on July 19th, 2014. One of the other outdoor space to play and exercise, we created a unique outdoor experience at the Frank Rains Day Park use area. The area is in the rugged mountains of Del Porto Canyon. The treehouse and rocks fit nicely with the landscaping. In another area, we have the Modesto Reservoir. It has 6,040-acre park that provides 2,800 acres of reservoir. In our Woodward Reservoir, we have 6,667 acres. Water sports, overnight camping are the big draw. We allow water skiing, jet skiing, sailing, swimming, power boating, fishing, and duck hunting at both sites. And here we have the LaGrange Mud Fest, something new for us because it's a social media only event, which means that they do it, all the invites is through Facebook, Twitter. I mean, they have to let us know it's happening. We have between 600 and 900 vehicles per event, and last winter we had 5 events. And this is what they do. At Modesto Reservoir, we have the Modesto Radio Control Club. The MRCC provides supplies and material for the improvements of the grassy landing strip and fencing. They sponsor one youth radio control glider electric airplane event and one public event every year. In the facilities for self-directed and organized recreation, we have the Hatch Park Baseball Opening Day. This year, the Junior Giants, run by the Police Activities League, had over 250 kids sign up. Under also the facilities for self-directed organized recreation, we have the Frank Raines OHV Park. We have dune buggies, quads, rock crawlers, motorcycles, and OHV trucks who experience this park. This is our picnic area. This is the very opening of our park with the trails in the back. And these are 2 family-sized barbecues with the tables on each side that we just put in from the OHV grant. At the fishing at Woodward Reservoir, and they love their fishing over there, we have between, every 2 years, we have between $8,000 and $10,000 given to purchase fish by the Fish and Wildlife Committee. We purchase largemouth bass, bluegill, red ear sunfish, crappie, and channel catfish. The State Department of Fish and Wildlife plants approximately 5,000 pounds of trout at both reservoirs every winter. The riding at LaGrange, and I'm talking the free riding, not the events, where they have 147 acres of abandoned dredge area that is dedicated solely for off-road vehicle use. At the Modesto Reservoir, we also have the archery. They've been there about 10 years. They put on a couple of tournaments a year and do youth events and Saturday shoots. And here is our Modesto Reservoir Easter Egg Hunt, the first one we've ever had. This was part of the park's marketing plan, was to focus and create events at each park to draw more people in. We were figuring on 200 to 300 people, and 800 to 900 people showed up. We had 10,000 eggs. Powell put on a whole bunch of games, and it was a complete success. We had to show her because she was the winner of the golden ticket, so she got to pick a prize. And, well, look at her face. That says everything right there. As far as positive alternatives for youth, the Frank Raines Camping and Riding, we have 750 acres in the lower OHV park that encompass the park entrance station, a full hookup campground, recreation hall, restrooms, showers, and a group picnic area. Again, under positive alternatives for youth, we have Home Depot workshops in some of our community parks. The Police Activities League has a flag football team. We have swimming program at Empire Park. And we have the fishing day with PAL, which is always a big success. Under activities that facilitate social connections, human development, therapy, the arts, and lifelong learning, we have the 4th of July show. Now I'm going to show you a couple pictures that we just took this year to kind of show you where everybody hangs out up and around the reservoir. This year we had 30,000 people in attendance, and it was hot and packed. This shows you a little clearer about how many cars are actually at. They start coming like probably a week and a half before the event. Under our activities that facilitate social connections, we're now hosting the Symbiosis at Woodward Reservoir. We hosted in 2013 and will host again in September of 2015. Just a couple of interesting pictures of that. We have the Laird Park new shade shelter for family events. It's $100 per day for exclusive use. We have birthdays, cultural celebrations, baby showers, family reunions, customer and employee appreciation. And they hold 5 reservations per month with about 1 to 300 people in each attendance. And the Modesto Reservoir Cub Scouts at Modesto Reservoir, they do the archery. So we're in full swing with the parks marketing plan. We have Facebook accounts for all 5 regional parks. We sponsored the first Easter egg hunt for the county. We're devising the first logos for marketing purposes. And we're coming out with our first mascot, Jack D. Rabbit, who's the weekend warrior. But most of all, today, we wanted to thank all of you for the opportunities in making these things happen for our communities at large. It couldn't happen without you, and we just wanted to thank you today for that.
Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Very good. Thank you guys very much. Any questions?
Comments? Can I have a comment?
Supervisor Martin, I'm sorry, it's not your turn. One moment. Supervisor DiMartini.
Yeah, it was a good presentation. I've always liked parks, and I think they provide a good quality of life and activities for youth to do. It gives them something to do. I know that soccer is real popular in my community, too. So I just encourage everybody to take advantage of parks and use them. We have a lot of facilities there, and lately, they've been kept up really well. Maybe not quite watered as well as we'd like, but you know, everybody's cutting back. But I've been out to the parks for community events, you know, frequently, and it's just a good place to go for the family and community events and youth activities. So, good job in taking care of them there, and you know, we make improvements all the time.
Thank you,
Supervisor Chiesa.
Sorry about that, Chair. The Parks and Rec Department was absolutely eviscerated back in 2009, 2010. That was one of the first places we went for cuts, thinking that you know the money was better spent on law enforcement and other areas. And now out of that comes a more lean and mean machine, but I think there's a realization from the board members that they're real jewels. I mean, we understand that they're really important for the public, and great to see this highlighted because even I know every one of those programs, and I forget about every one of those programs because there's so many. It's nice to be reminded. Woodward Reservoir, I went out there for the 4th of July. The last couple of years I've gone out there just to go check it out. This year it fell on a Saturday, so a weekend. It was like the perfect storm. And talked to a lot of people. I walked around and I had asked, you know, where they were from, why they were there, why they came. A lot of people from the Bay Area, from Stockton, Hayward, all the way as far as Hillsboro, which I think is somewhere in San Francisco area. And they came because we had water, number one, because they filled the reservoir up and not many reservoirs are full, which I think is fantastic. And they kept talking about the tremendous value, carload price. So Well, having said that, here I am going to be the ogre. I think that we need to differentiate between Stanislaus County employees, something on a forward-look basis, versus people from outside of county, different pricing system, so that we give some sort of advantage to our own folks. The fireworks show, second to none out there. Everyone has to go out there. Unfortunately, you need a helicopter to get in. There was about a 2-mile line to get in the park at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Pretty amazing. But what we have out at Modesto Reservoir, people are surprised when they get out there to see all the improvements, and what we've done at Woodward, the OAV parks, Frank Rains up in LaGrange. I hear lots of positive comments. Thank you, guys, and please come back every year and remind us, because that'll give us more impetus to try and help out. So,
great. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you guys very much. Just to echo everybody's comments here, this really the jewels that we have here in our county, and you guys are doing a great job running them. It was interesting, that one picture, I think I saw the vehicle with the front tires up. I think that was Supervisor DeMartini in one of his cars.
I could really relate to that picture.
So thank you guys very much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. We will move on to public comment. This is for any item that is not on the agenda that you'd like to speak about. I have two cards here today. The first one is for Jake Elzinga. Am I saying that right? Come on up. Did I pronounce that close, Jake?
Yeah, I don't hear too good, so...
Elzinga?
Elzinga.
Perfect. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you great, yeah.
All right. I came here to pay my taxes to Gordon Ford. This was back in November. The taxes were delinquent. I came on the 11th of November, which I had the check, the bank check from AIG, and it was made out for the amount due, but I came about a week later, and it was November, so the lady at the window told me that there's extra interest on the amount due to the fact that it was not in October. It was about a week later in paying them. But anyway, the taxes were coming. My property was going up for auction on the 13th of November. I came there the 11th to pay them with an AIG check. I presented it to the lady at the window, and as I told you, there was another amount added to it because I was a little about a week late. Anyway, so she told me I got to have some cash or make a different check out or something. So I went back to Turlock, where my bank is, and I got the cash that was extra on it, and I came back the next day, and I think it was either the 10th or the 11th when I came, but anyway, Veterans Day happened to be on that Tuesday. I came on a Monday to pay. So I didn't come the next day because it was Veterans Day and they were closed. I came the day after. That would be the 12th, I guess, and the sale was supposed to come up on the 13th. Anyway, so I got the cash, came in on the 12th after the holiday, and then they told me they wouldn't accept the AIG check, the bank check, for the amount. So this was in the afternoon of the 12th, and I had till 5 o'clock, and I didn't have enough time to go back to Turlock and exchange the check. They said that I had to have a cashier's check, and I was under the influence that there was no personal checks. I seen that on there, but... I didn't know definitely that they had to have a cashier's check. I thought that they would take a bank check, AIG bank check. Anyway, they didn't, so here I am. My property was stolen, was was sold for about half of what the market value is. I'd like to try to get my property back if there's any chance, and possibly resell it and get what it's worth, hopefully.
Okay, maybe we can get your name and phone number and address, and we can talk to you about this afterwards, kind of offline here. Is that okay, Jake?
Yeah, I put it on the yellow tag there.
Okay.
I'm going to ask Mr. Jody Hayes, Assistant Executive Officer, to meet with you in the back of the room and get a little more information. And then he can coordinate with the tax collector's office to find out more about what's going on here.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, our next one up is Joanne Betancourt.
Good morning.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm Jake Elzinga Jr.'s sister. I'm making an appeal to you about the county tax sale of this property that occurred on November 13th. The fact is that he tried to pay. I know he told you, but I'll kind of say maybe a few things that he didn't say. He tried to pay the outstanding tax of $5,454.89 owed on his property before the county sale. He presented a check made out for the amount on November 10th. The assessor's clerk told him that he needed to pay additional interest. He didn't have the money with him. He couldn't return the next day. It was Veterans Day. Offices were closed. So on November 12th, he went back to the assessor's office to pay the taxes in full to avoid the sale of his property. He presented the clerk with the same check as he had 2 days before and the additional interest in cash. The clerk said that they would not accept his check from his annuity fund that he was going to endorse over to the county. I have a copy of that check. The clerk didn't tell my brother on his first attempt to pay that they would not accept that annuity fund check. She wanted a cashier's check. But I hear that there can be fraudulent cashier's checks being used in our system. He didn't have time to go back for a cashier check that day because his only mode of transportation has been a bicycle for many years. Yes, this 64-year-old man made 2 25-mile round trips to Modesto from the Crow's Landing area to prevent the sale of his property. He did this the best way that he knew how. He was too proud to ask for help. Please reconsider the sale. He needs his property for his retirement years. The sale has made him a homeless person because you don't get the proceeds anyway for a year after the sale. He accepted that. He's living with my husband and I, helping out with hay sales, cattle, tractor work, and other odd jobs. He's been a resident of Stanislaus County for 64 years. He had a full-service gas station and shop for 20 years, serving our farming community of Mountain View by doing engine overhauls, tune-ups, brake, transmission work, and tire repair on our local farmers' tractors, trucks, and vehicles. He purchased his property in 1979. A proud owner, his first property purchased. I greatly urge you to allow my brother to pay the outstanding property taxes and give his property back to him. He needs it for his future. It's not as if he didn't try to rectify his situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanna. And as we said, it sounds like this was just kind of a tragic situation, the way this went down, and we will let you talk with Jody here in the back, and we'll see what we can.
Okay.
More information from you. Thank you very much. Okay, that's all that I have speaker cards for. Anyone else? If not, we will move on here to our consent calendar. One of the items on the consent calendar is the cancellation of the meeting of next week's Board of Supervisors meeting. just wanted to point that out, that we will not have a meeting, if the consent calendar is approved, that we will not have a meeting next Tuesday. So, okay, anything from consent that would like to be pulled?
Item A5, separate vote, please.
A5 will be pulled as a separate vote. Okay, then do we have a motion with regard to the remainder of the consent calendar?
So moved.
A motion, we have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Item A5.
A separate vote, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Item A5, do we have a motion to approve A5?
Yeah, I'll make the motion. I want to just confer why we're canceling the meeting, because we've discussed this, but publicly.
Yeah, when we looked at our pending agenda, we didn't really have any, it was very light. First of all, nothing scheduled but one small presentation that was asked to be delayed anyway. And this would have represented 7 or 8 consecutive meetings in a row. And so we chose to bring it to you to see if you had an interest in canceling it.
Okay, motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Those passes 4-1. Very good, thank you. We will now move on to our 9:05 hearing. Matt, how are you?
Great. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring. My name is Matt Machado. I'm the Director of Public Works. And with me this morning is Kathy Johnson. She's our Assistant Director. And this morning we have before you a public hearing to consider approval for our county service areas, our landscape assessment districts, and our landscape and lighting districts. And so Kathy is going to reintroduce herself and give you a brief update and presentation on this item.
Good morning, Chairman Withrow, members of the board, Mr. Risen and Mr. Doring. My name is Kathy Johnson, and I'm the Assistant Director at Public Works Department. This agenda item is to request to conduct a public hearing to consider approval of the fiscal year 2015-2016 assessments for the following special districts. County service areas number 4 through 27, the Del Rio Heights Landscape Assessment District, and the following landscape and lighting districts: Bret Hart, Bystrom, Howard McCracken, Laurel, Paradise South, Riverdale, and Riverview. In summary, compared to the fiscal year 2014-2015, there is only one special district whose assessment will increase. The rest will remain unchanged. All proposed assessments are in compliance with Proposition 218. There are 5 staff recommendations for your approval at the conclusion of the public hearing. Staff requests that anyone wishing to comment during the public hearing please identify the name or number of the special district they are commenting on. Chairman Withrow, before opening the public hearing, are there any questions for staff? And if there are no questions, I request that you open the public hearing.
Any questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the public hearing. Any questions, comments from the public? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to the board.
Great, thank you.
Motion to approve all 5 staff recommendations.
We have a motion approved. Do we have a second?
Second,
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we will now move. I guess we will adjourn the Board of Supervisors and then reopen as a successor agency to the Stanislaus County Redevelopment Agency. Call that meeting to order. Open it up for public comment. We have no public comment. Consent calendar, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
We have a motion, do we have a second?
Second,
all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0, we will move on to item 6C.
Good morning, successor agency board members, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring, Angela Freitas, County Planning Director, sitting before you this morning, his staff for the successor agency. The item before you this morning seeks the approval and authorization to refund the 2005 Keys tax allocation bond and the 2003 USDA note, which are both obligations of the former Stanislaus County Redevelopment Agency that was dissolved on February 1st, 2012. The funds from the bond and the note were used to construct storm drain projects in the community of Keys and Salida. Joining me this morning to provide the technical support for this item are Bobby Chung, financial advisor for KNN Public Financing, and Kurt Yeager, bond and disclosure counsel with Stradling. At this time, I'm going to turn over the presentation to Mr. Chung, who will be providing a tax allocation refunding overview.
Great. Thank you, Angela. Good morning, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. During. Again, my name is Bobby Chung. I'm with KNN Public Finance, and I'm very excited to be here this morning. This is a project that my colleagues and I have been working on for quite a bit of time, and I'm happy to bring this before you for your consideration. I have a very brief presentation here. Very briefly about the company that I work for, KNN Public Finance. My colleague David Leifer and I have worked for the county for quite some time. Mr. Leifer providing advice since 1993 and myself since 2002. We are municipal financial advisors, not bond underwriters. So our job is really to evaluate financing options, bring those options before you for your consideration, and answer any questions that you may have. As Angela alluded to, I will give a very brief summary of the outstanding debt that the successor agency currently has. The successor agency currently has three debt issuances outstanding, one of which will be retired very shortly. The largest one is this 2005 tax allocation bonds, currently outstanding $11.51 million. The bonds are fixed rate currently, and their final maturity is August 1. 2036, so about another 21 years or so. The bonds were originally issued in the par amount of $15.6 million, so about $5 million has been paid down as unrated and uninsured tax allocation bonds. My firm served as the financial advisor on that original transaction, and Stone and Youngberg served as the underwriter for that transaction. These bonds are currently callable with a 1% premium of the outstanding par amount. However, that premium is reduced to zero, literally in a couple of days on August 1st, 2015. So this is about the time that we start looking at refinancing opportunities when the bonds are callable at no bond premium. The successor agency also has a smaller United States Department of Agriculture note, which we also looked at the economics for potential refunding. This note goes all the way out to, I think, 2041, so it's a bit longer, at an interest rate of 4.25%, also a fixed rate. On the next slide, we see a summary of the refunding economics. Currently, given the current market conditions, a refunding of the 2005 A bonds is generating some pretty significant both gross savings or nominal non-present value savings of about $2.1 million and present value savings of just over $1 million. That translates into about $100,000 per fiscal year, all the way out to 2036. And the county's share of savings is about 12% of that figure, so about $12,000 a year. The way these transactions are structured, the savings is shared amongst all of the taxing agencies. That $1 million present value savings is about 9.8% of the par amount of the refunded bonds. That is a common metric in the bond market where we evaluate whether it makes sense to move forward with the refunding or not. Usually, for current refundings, we recommend moving forward if present value savings are in excess of 3% of the par amount of the refunding bonds. So we have some good cushion there. This refunding for the 05A bonds can absorb a 0.85% increase in interest rates before present value savings drop to the minimum 3% level that we are recommending. As you will see, the refunding of the USDA loan at this point does not make sense. It is generating negative savings, so we would not recommend doing that transaction as a refunding at this point. However, we are asking for your board's approval to include that USDA loan moving forward, and we will reevaluate the economics as it gets a little bit closer towards the time where we actually set the interest rates during the bond pricing process. There's been a lot of volatility in the bond market and in the stock market, especially internationally, as you all may have been following. And international volatility on the equity side actually helps us on the bond side as it funnels more money into relatively safer investments such as U.S. Treasuries and U.S. bonds. So we are asking for the go-ahead to move forward with both.
Can I stop you for 1 second to ask a question?
Sure thing.
Okay, so we're not locked in on the Keys bonds? We're not locked in today?
No, we are not.
Okay, so at what point, because if everything changes, does that become more desirable on the Keys refinancing if the USDA loan refinancing? Because it's negative 0.319, right?
Yes.
We need to flip 6% essentially for it
to be. Yeah, it would have to be quite a big swing in.
So how long is it before we lock in?
That is addressed on our next slide, actually. This is a tentative schedule for next steps. We are not able to lock in the pricing until, on an estimated basis, during the week of October 26th. That's quite a ways down the line. It's because this type of transaction requires a couple of more steps between now and the time that we're actually able to lock the rate. Number one, the oversight board in 2 weeks needs to approve moving forward as well, if your board gives us the okay. And then second, the California Department of Finance actually has to approve this transaction as well. That was one of the requirements built into the Dissolution Act when all of the redevelopment agencies were dissolved. So there's actually a 65-day process from the time that we submit the package to the Department of Finance to the time where we the maximum amount of time where we could hear back. We could always hear back from them sooner. And in some of the transactions I've worked on, we have heard back sooner, but in some transactions, it's gone out literally to like the last day.
Okay. I think that about wraps up. Okay.
Thank you. Just one more item that I want to cover is that if the refunding is ultimately approved by the Oversight Board but does not occur, there will be some non-contingent costs not to exceed $25,200 that will need to be covered. Those costs may be treated as administrative costs of the successor agency or submitted as enforceable obligations on the successor agency's recognized obligation schedule. The successor agency is authorized an administrative cost allowance of $250,000 annually, and it's anticipated that there will be more than sufficient surplus administrative fund to cover those non-contingent costs. In your item, you have four recommendations before you this morning. Those are to approve a resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of the tax allocation refunding bonds and approving the form of indenture of trust, bond purchase contract, and related documents, and authorizing certain actions in connection therewith, to authorizing the chair of the successor agency to sign the resolution, authorizing the executive director to execute all necessary agreements for related professional services, and authorizing the executive director to place the non-contingent costs on the recognized obligation payment schedule as an enforceable obligation if adequate administrative cost allowance is unavailable. This time, if there are any further questions, we're available.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board for questions. CEO Risen.
I was just going to mention one clarifying thought. You're going to have one more look at this in October before we actually pull the trigger one way or the other. So this is just authoring us to continue down the road that we've started in pursuing this.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions, comments? Okay. I will look to the board for a motion.
Yeah, move to approve the four staff recommendations.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Do we have to public hearing? Why is open us up as a public hearing?
It's a public hearing.
I'll have to close the public hearing. Okay, we will close the public hearing. Okay, then we will.
Okay, ready now, Mr. Chairman?
Now we're ready.
Yeah, I'll move. We approve the four staff recommendations.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Passes 5-0. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. We will go back now to item B4. Oh, I'm sorry, first.
Yeah.
Yeah, first I need to adjourn the successor agency. No further comments. We will adjourn that meeting.
And reconvene.
And we will reconvene the Board of Supervisors meeting. Now we will go to item B4. This is very complicated for the chairman today. I'm sorry. Hi, Dale, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Good morning, members of the board, Mr. Risen and Mr. Doering. Dale Skiles, Fire Warden, Office of Emergency Services, and joining me, I have our emergency manager for Stanislaus County, Melba Hibbard, who's been instrumental in helping develop this plan. Also, deputies in the back, Eric Hawley and Paul Gibson, and also David Mendez from Self Help Enterprises. I'd just like to take a few moments and just a few slides and share with you a little bit of the history. In January 2014, Governor Brown proclaimed a state of emergency due to the drought. It directed state officials to take all necessary actions to prepare for water shortages. In February 2014, the Office of Emergency Services formed the Stanislaus County Drought Task Force. Joining the county are representatives from all nine cities, water and irrigation districts, National Weather Service, Department of Water Resources, California Office of Emergency Services, and many other partnering organizations. The purpose of the task force has been to share local impacts, both current and anticipated. And then what's shared is documented and reported to California Office of Emergency Services in Sacramento. They in turn are collecting the information from all 58 counties and advising state officials of the impacts of this drought. As a result, after receiving significant impact reports from all counties, the governor approved a $1 billion emergency drought relief package. He also signed an executive order outlining water savings, increased enforcement against water waste, investing in new technologies, and streamlining government response. In September 2014, the Office of Emergency Services presented to you, the Board of Supervisors, in which you adopted a water shortage strategy which outlined local monitoring efforts, available resources, and a response plan. Before you today is an updated plan now being identified as the Stanislaus County Water Contingency Plan. Previously identified resources from last year have been updated for 2015, and a temporary water assistance program has now been added. As a result of our ongoing monitoring efforts, staff is recommending to the Board of Supervisors that a local state of emergency be proclaimed due to the severity of the water shortage within Stanislaus County. Under California Government Code Section 8630, the Board is empowered to proclaim the existence of a local emergency. The proclamation will allow the county to seek state funding reimbursement to provide a temporary water supply to homeowners with dry wells in the unincorporated area of the county. An emergency proclamation is required to be reviewed and revisited at least every 30 days. Within the Stanislaus County Water Contingency Plan is Annex A, a temporary water assistance program referred to as TWA. With over 50 dry wells being reported in Stanislaus County, staff sought to find a program that that would provide a temporary option while a long-term solution is being reached. In developing a temporary solution for homeowners, our goals have been to provide something that is responsive to the needs and can be quickly deployed. The program identifies a reporting and application process, an expedient review and oversight mechanism, and an installation and delivery process. Program costs are being funded through the State of California Disaster Assistance Act, known as CDAA, which provides funds to support essential community services and relief efforts. There have been a number of key individuals from several county departments who have been instrumental in developing the plan. I'd like to thank you, the Board of Supervisors, and the Chief Executive Office staff for their support as we've made this effort a priority over the last 30 to 45 days in developing the program. We have also been involved and engaged with self-help enterprises. Instrumental in leading that has been Susan Atkins, and again, as mentioned previously, David Mendez is with us today in the boardroom from Self-Help Enterprises. And so they have been a great partner, and they've helped us also assist in program development. Self-Help Enterprises is a nonprofit organization, and they've been phenomenal throughout the development. By partnering with a nonprofit organization such as Self-Help Enterprise, the program is eligible for 100% reimbursement through CDAA. As well, they are experienced in similar programs in five other counties, all of those counties south of us. California Office of Emergency has been involved. Their guidance in developing a proclamation and funding is also recognizable. So to put this in a nutshell, a little bit about the TWA, or the Temporary Water Assistance Program process. The TWA program is designed for individuals to contact the Office of Emergency Services of Stanislaus County, the Department of Environmental Resources, and or Self-Help Enterprises, and submit an application. An Emergency Water Oversight Committee will immediately review all applications. The CDAA outlines some specific criteria, such as applicants must be a homeowner residing at the site, and there needs to be the existence of a true emergency. And when those are confirmed, the application will go directly to Self-Help Enterprises. They will do an on-site inspection, make installation, arrange for a bulk water delivery, and ensure that occupants receive regular water deliveries thereafter. So for you today are three action items. One, proclaim the existence of a drought emergency in Stanislaus County. Number two, approve a memorandum of understanding with Self-Help Enterprises, a private nonprofit to administer the temporary water assistance program in Stanislaus County. And third, approve the update water contingency plan document, including Annex A, which is the temporary water assistance program. With that, that concludes my presentation, and I would take any questions or comments you might have.
Very good. Thank you, Dale. First up, Supervisor Chiesa.
I first want to say, you know, when we first started down this road, Supervisor O'Brien was pushing us to do something for these folks, and I think both of our districts have most of the issues. And so for that, I want to thank him, because this is exactly where we need to be. It's kind of one of those moments where we go, we finally got somewhere where folks have something to fall back on, because there was nothing for the longest time, assuming we move forward with this. I've heard great things about Self-Help Enterprises. I think we've chosen a good one, and I want to thank you for working hard, and thank you for pushing us, Supervisor O'Brien.
Very good. Supervisor Monteith.
Yes, the expenses incurred, the loan is repaid.
So the process would be that Self-Help Enterprise would incur the cost of tanks, equipment, and installation, and then they would seek through the state and be funded through the CDAA and be reimbursed for those costs.
Okay, so the county isn't a collection.
County has no, okay. No obligation.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I'm sorry, I didn't bring that up. Thank you, though, for clarification.
Very good. Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank Chief Skiles, Keith Boggs from CEO's office, and everybody else who's worked so hard on this program. This really came about probably 45 days ago when we were sitting around a table saying, okay, what happens if you go home tonight and you turn on the tap and there's no water? Because that's what Supervisor Kiz and I residents are facing. We have most of the dry wells in the county. They're mostly in our two districts. And we hear story after story of people who go home and there's nothing, no water. It's done. And so we challenged staff, and a huge thank you. Keith Boggs took this and ran with it. Chief Skiles said, hey, you know what? We start brainstorming and find out that something like this exists in another county. Let's get on it. Here we are, 45 quick days in government. That is extremely fast to bring this back in front of us, which is amazing. And I just hope we can roll this out as fast as possible. What this has meant is just it's a gap. When you call up a well driller, you might have a very long 9-month wait to get a new well. What do you do between now and then? What water do you do? How do you live? What do you do? Well, this kind of fills that gap. Will it be all the water that a resident needs? No, they're going to have to ration like you can't believe. But at least it should be enough water for them to live in their house. And that's what's so important about this. We've challenged staff to take to the next level, and how do we get a well drilled quicker? And we're working on that to see what we can come up with that. But this is a great measure. I'm so proud of staff to as fast as they have to turn this around and bring this before the board. I'll just urge my colleagues, we need to vote for this. We have residents who need this water.
Very good. I will just kind of echo some of these things here. Again, we do want to thank Bill. He was the one who kind of spearheaded this thing to get this started. And Vito, I know, like they said, both of these are happening in their district predominantly more than anywhere else. Just another example of what we're doing for our constituents here with regard to this drought. So often we've had a few meetings that we've had to sit in and hear people say, what are you guys doing about this? We're doing so much. We've been working on this for probably not this, but several items here that we've accomplished over the last 2 years for our county and for our taxpayers. So I feel like our county is all over this. I'm very proud of our staff, what they've done, what they've accomplished, how quickly they've moved. So great stuff, guys. Thank you for doing this, and we will continue on. We have more that we are working on in the wings here as we continue to fight our way through this drought. So do we have a motion? Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
At least this will get the homeowners by it till they can get a new well drilled. But it takes sometimes up to a year to get a well drilled right now. So this gets them by. I've had some experience with this self-help, and we work with them over the Monterey Park project. So they're a good organization, and they can get this done. No, I think this is the way to go. What we need to try and do, too, is to get more well drillers in this area, you know, from out of state or something, because it's irrigation wells. If you were to put one in now, it takes 2 years. And for a domestic well, up to a year. So it's a really big backlog. You know, this will get the person by. That's all they're doing is getting by until a new well is drilled. But this is a good solution for the time, and that they have a good job and pushing this through at the speed that you did, like Supervisor Chiesa said, that it was a fast for government in 45 days. So we got a good staff here, and I think this will be just what we need to get some homeowners by so they can get a new well drilled.
Okay, very good. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve all three staff recommendations.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
Go ahead.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item B5, I have a conflict, and so I am going to step away during this one, and I will let our Vice Chair, Supervisor Monteith, step in for me here.
Okay. Let's see, this is which one?
That's a B5.
Or,
B5?
B5.
So Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Boggs?
I'm here. Good morning, Vice Chair Monteith. How are you this morning?
Just fine, thank
Members
you.
Of the board, CEO Risen, Councilman Doring, Keith Boggs, Assistant Executive Officer. I'm here this morning with an item before you, seeking your consideration to establish a downtown Modesto Community Benefit District. And it asks that you authorize your chairman to sign and submit the property owner ballot for county-owned properties within that district footprint. A community benefit district is a property owner-based assessment area. It's a tool whereby property owners self-assess to cover the costs of additional improvements and services that otherwise would not be provided. These improvements and services can include all of those on the screen and several more, including infrastructure improvements, traffic calming design, etc. There are 7 county-owned properties within the proposed community benefit district boundary. They include all of those listed on screen. The total county property tax assessment is estimated at $36,745. This is an annual assessment. The assessment would be evaluated based upon the Consumer Price Index, CPI, with a cap on any increases not to exceed 5% per year. There are 3 primary assessment categories. They include linear frontage, parcel and lot size, and building square footage, vertical building space. The linear frontage assessment is calculated based upon the total number of linear feet that a property fronts on the street. So if a property is mid-block, its linear assessment would be nominal to that one side. Those properties that are an entire block, obviously, or a corner, would have a larger linear assessment. The assessments from this category will be used to improve sidewalk presence, power wash campaigns, general cleanup and graffiti abatement issues and concerns. The parcel lot size, that parcel lot size assessment is calculated based upon the square footage size of the identified parcel, the actual footprint. Assessments from this category will be used to improve security and issues related to loitering, aggressive panhandling, and serial inebriates. And the final one is the buildings and structures assessment. This is calculated based upon the vertical square footage associated with actual buildings. These assessments will be used for marketing and promotional purposes, promoting the downtown district as an attractive, safe tourism destination. And the assessment in this area, the building and structure assessment, is not collected from any of the public sector property owners due to the fact that these public facilities cater to public services and marketing their presence is counterintuitive to their mission. I'd like to take just a moment to clarify some of the comments that were made regarding this district formation in a recent board meeting during public comment period. First of all, there is no district attorney component. In an email from Josh Bridegroom, City of Modesto, to Cole Siefkin, the DoubleTree Hotel Management, an example from the Downtown Sacramento Property Owner Association was taken somewhat out of context. Additionally, the example from Sacramento referred to serial inebriates, aggressive panhandlers, and others who create an inhospitable environment to downtown guests. In other words, those individuals who are engaged in illegal activity. There's no mention of homeless individuals or targeting the homeless. Panhandlers are not always homeless. In a meeting with city staff and with formation proponents, it was made very clear that the county would not support a district attorney component. Secondly, this is a private property owner-driven initiative that they are seeking public entity support for. Of the 48 petitions submitted to date, 42 have come from private entities. The process has been very transparent and has included all property owners who are being solicited to self-assess for physical improvements within the identified benefit district footprint. CEO staff first brought this process to your attention in an open meeting on June 2 of this year. Thirdly, the vote is weighted by property size and assessment value, very similar to annexation activities. Stanislaus County would count towards 5.27% of 100% of the total vote. This is based upon the property sizes and valuations of those properties. And just as a sidebar, the total public vote is estimated to be 15%. The annual assessment may be increased by an amount not to exceed 5% annually, in accordance with the increase in the CPI for urban consumers. The Consumer Price Index will regulate any assessment fluctuation. It is not a straight 5% annual increase as it was portrayed recently. This is a common practice to protect the value of money, the current year assessment, as not to degrade the ability to provide program improvements over time. And you can see on screen the year-over-year CPI index since 2010. There are multiple examples in our own backyard of the successes of this kind of owner-driven self-assessment programming. In Turlock, California, Turlock formed their downtown benefit district 6 years ago. At the time of formation, vacancy rates in downtown Turlock commercial buildings were at an all-time high, hovering just over 35% vacancy. Today, 6 years later, vacancy rates are at an impressive 4%, and rental and lease rates have gone up by over 25%. People are coming back to their downtown. It's becoming a vibrant commercial. It's becoming a scene. It's becoming the college town we always knew it would be. In large part due to the binding together of property owners to make the additional investments and to brand the experience. In 2008, the Stockton Miracle Mile Community Benefit District was formed. Today, the Miracle Mile has seen higher sustained occupancy than any other region or district in Stockton. Stockton Miracle Mile is the dining and nightlife destination point in Stockton. Since CBD inception, they have brought over 100,000 additional visitors to the district through district-sponsored events, picked up 51,000 pounds of trash and litter per month. That's impressive. Pressure washed over 103 miles of sidewalks and alleys per month and have abated over 1,500 incidents of nuisance or criminal activity on average annually. So, our recommendation today is that you consider the establishment of the Downtown Modesto Community Benefit District and authorize your chairman to sign and submit the property owner's ballot. This concludes my brief presentation, and I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions or comments by the board?
I do have a comment. I was in a series city council meeting last night, and they have something very similar down there that they have had since 1988. It's called the Ceres Downtown Revitalization Area. And although it's a much more modest program than this, but they have been assessing businesses downtown, you know, since 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so that's what they use down there. So it's something that that other cities have done. I know you mentioned Turlock, but I didn't realize that Ceres has done it too. So it's something you want to attract people to your downtown. You've got to make it look nice, or they're not going to go there. So I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you.
That Ceres has done this for quite some time now.
Okay. Any other comments? Questions? Statements?
Yeah, I have a couple. First of all, I am so much in favor of people taxing themselves and making improvements to what they do. If I had property in this area, I'd be voting yes. Which brings me to a couple concerns that I have sitting on the government side. First of all, the marketing promotional aspect, we would not be contributing money, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But a yes vote would then tax the other property owners in this district for marketing and promotional monies.
They would be assessed. I don't like to use the T word on this. It's an assessment.
Assessment, okay. And so I would love to that this would pass, and I'd love that we would contribute our money towards this assessment. But I'm just concerned that we're using the government to get it over the hurdle. Is this a 50% plus one assessment vote?
Yes.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's my concern, is that the government comes in and pushes this things around because of the weighted average of what we have downtown. which puts me in a very difficult spot because I think this is the right thing to do. I would just hate to see that the private sector of downtown comes up short of 50%, and that's my fear.
So if I may, Chair, from our very first meeting with these private property owners, we made it clear that we would not be interested if it was the public vote that would swing this one way or the other. That is why they went out with the petitions that they did, to make sure that there was enough private side interest that this could carry it on its own. In fact, when they surveyed us, we stayed neutral so that they could not use our support, you know, put us as support that would put it over the top. So if you were, these property owners are pursuing this, were to be here, they would tell you that they have aggressively pursued the private side and to try to demonstrate that there is enough private support for this to carry.
Okay. And so what happens if this comes back with, say, a 55% approval when 15% of its governments, that'd only be a 40% of private?
I don't think you can take your vote back.
Yeah, exactly. That's my concern. Yes.
I mean, I guess you could stay moot, and if it passes, then you're therefore going to be assessed based upon majority rule.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So those are just my concerns, and I kind of want to see what my colleagues' feelings are.
Any additional comments?
So what I would agree with what you said, but we are making a decision for the property. We are using government money, and we are making that decision that we were elected to. So I'm okay. I'm sure hoping it's going to pass with 65% for the same reason, so that we don't have to think that government pushed it over. I think it will pass with 65%. Every downtown owner I've talked to is for this. I think this is going to be good for downtown Modesto. And if we had a building in Ceres, I would recommend we do the same. I would say in Turlock and Houston and Patterson, it's better because we're serving the people, and having a cleaner, more inviting atmosphere will be good. So I will be supporting this without question. I also want you to reiterate, district attorney is not something we support, even if it was taken out of context, or I don't support. And the essentially picking on homeless people, there's no intent here whatsoever. You've voiced our opinion to the rest of the folks, and we're very clear with that. Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you. Can I interject something, Vice Chair? This is an interesting situation from the public side, and I completely understand Supervisor O'Brien. But the wrinkle to that is that we have the Gallo Performing Arts Center right smack dab in the middle of the footprint, which is arguably the jewel of this downtown district. So in that essence, we have skin in the game, I guess.
One more question. Medical arts building, has that been deducted out of our 5.27?
It is not counted.
Not counted. Okay, great.
We don't own it.
Yeah, not anymore.
There's a lot of businesses, you know, downtown, and, we got a lot of nightlife, theater, convention center, Gallo Arts Center, lots of restaurants, and so I think it's in their best interest to have the downtown look as nice as it can to attract customers. When they attract customers, they generate tax revenue and employment.
Any additional comments?
I will support my colleagues on this. I'm a little bit gun-shy, I'll have to admit, but I will support the majority on this.
Now, you'd like to open up to public. Any comments or questions? Open to the public. If none, I'll bring it back to the board and ask for decision or further comment.
Motion to approve.
We make a motion?
Second.
Second. And first, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And we'll bring back our illustrious leader.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you, Supervisor Monteith, for doing that. We will now move on to correspondence.
This board has, excuse me, my mic's having problems. This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Energy, Western Area Power Administration, Sierra Nevada Region, and the San Luis Delta Mendota Water Authority regarding the review and comment period for the environmental documents related to the San Luis Transmission Project's various proposed routes for the new transmission lines.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a letter from the California Workforce Investment Board regarding the conditional approval of the county's designation as a local workforce development area.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNet.
This board has received claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Any Board of Supervisor reports? None. Legislative Fiscal Management Report, CEO Risen.
And no report this morning.
Okay. Closed session.
Yes, we'll adjourn to closed session. This morning we're going to have conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Nancy Bronstein, and Jody Hayes, and the labor organizations are those listed on the agenda. Additionally, we'll have conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D4, and this involves one matter. We do not expect to report out on any of these matters, and it'd be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments on before we adjourn to closed session.
Any public comment on closed session? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.